Part of life is being untouched. And to be untouched is part of life. And there you have it in a nutshell. Thank you for listening. Part of life is to be untouched. And so many people are touched by everything. They're touched by, no matter what it is that exists, they're touched by it. They are bothered by the ants crawling in the sidewalk. They might come in the house. They're bothered by mice that they see at other people's houses. I hope they don't come over here. And we were just talking to our builder, Michael Milligan, and he looked at my back and he saw the brown spot there. He said, "Oh, is that melanoma? Is that cancer, you know, from the sun?" And I said, "No, sir, that's been there for years and years and years and years." I told them to cut it off, but they said, "Why? There's nothing wrong with it. It's not malignant. It's not anything. Just leave it there, you know. It's a beauty mark, you know." And so then he said, "Well, now, you must be careful. The coyotes are really terrible. I heard them howling last night, and they must be up here, and they must be after your dogs and after your cats and after everything you got up here." And Ellen stopped him cold in his tracks and said to him,
"Michael, if you say these things, then you attract them. Don't do that. We say to us, we live here in a harmonious, wonderful, blissful place." "Oh, yes, 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 yes," he said.
And that's what he said. And we encouraged him to talk about other things. And we told him we were putting in an ozonator on our pools and up here at the house. And he says, "Yeah, what's so new about that?" He said, "You already got one on the jacuzzi, and you already have one on the Swimex." And I said, "Oh, you have one on the Swimex?" I said, "I didn't realize it. It should do the whole thing." And, of course, now they're adding one to it. Or maybe they're not adding one to it. Maybe they're just upgrading it or something, because they said they were going to upgrade it. But it should take care of every need the pool has for a large number of people and keep it pure and wonderful. You know, you can actually drink the water. It is so pure. But that remains to be seen. We want to see that, and we want to know that. And so when he comes here to install, we will see how it works and see how it functions. But our first effort will not be to be afraid of chemicals. We will be, he said, in 4 hours, the pools and everything else will be in perfect functioning order with the chemical balance. Denis. So in 4 hours, we will know. And if after 4 hours it's not, we want to know that too. We want to make sure that our pools are always balanced with the pH, and they're balanced. And he said, "Well, you can't check the pH balance, because you can't check with the same type of thing you do for pool chemicals as you do for ozone." And we said, "Well, that's interesting. We'll watch this very closely, because it's very important to do that." But that remains to be seen. Now, we could be touched by Michael's remarks, you know. We could be touched by it, but we're just flowing along with it. We find this is a wonderful possibility, and we're just eager to have it, and there's nothing wrong at all. So we're very happy. Now, if you're touched, then we'd worry about it. We'd say, no, we don't want that. We don't. It's not going to do the job. We're paying for a pig and a poke, and we're not getting anything out of it. But they guarantee that it works, and so we'll see if it actually does. I'm sure it will, because we have bought it to do that. And Sylvia feels that Hernando is one of the most responsible, wonderful, trustworthy, reliable people that she has ever met, and she endorses him 100%, right?
Right.
So, you see, there's nothing to be concerned about. Now, if you are going to be concerned about the bugs, you're going to be concerned about the sun, you're going to be concerned about the heat. I was working in my house today, and the temperature inside was 98 degrees or better, and the temperature outside was 104. And Michael came walking in naturally from the outside, and he said, "Oh, it's so hot in here. My gosh, how can you handle it?" Well, when you are untouched, you don't even notice those things. You don't even think about that. You don't worry about those things because, you know, what is, and you just flow with it. It's no big deal. And that's why we bought the air conditioner for that house. But the motor for the air conditioner has been out now for perhaps a year, you know, and we didn't even know it because I never used the air conditioner. And when I use the air conditioner, I just see the warm air being spread around. And I think, well, I could do that with my fans, you know. But I really have never been touched by it because that's not my concern. And he says, well, why don't you open some windows around here? And I said, let the hot air in? He said, no, let the breeze come through, you know. And he's a nice man. He's a nice man. But you see, you have to be very careful with whom you associate. And he said to me, now, you know, Stefan and Irene and people who leave the monastery, they leave it and they have no money. They have nothing. And they're supposed to live in poverty. We don't say that. We say that non-possession. But they're supposed to live in poverty. Now, how can they be out in the outer world? How can Stefan have a job and earn money and live in poverty? And I said, well, he just takes all his money and gives it to us, you know. Joke. No. Let me say for the record, and this is for the personal record of anybody who's listening, we have used the word poverty because that is the standard term that is accepted by the government as a monk is living in poverty. It means he has no possessions. It means that he lives in the monastery and is provided for him. It means all the things we do. But the word poverty is kind of antique and it's kind of limiting, and it's not one that we want to do. It also has, it touches people when they hear, poverty? No, who wants poverty? Well, if you live in non-possession, that's a whole different feeling, isn't it? A whole different attitude, non-possession. And non-possession is, no matter what you have, you're not possessed by it. No matter what money Stefan has, you're not possessed by it. He got himself the finest job he could get, working full-time, half-time. He has chosen to work half-time on a, what do you call it, a freelance job, where he sets his own time. And he has time to get up in the morning and run around the lake and do this and that and go play volleyball or soccer with his friends. And he has time to go visit Gertrude. He has time to do all these things, you know. Well, Stefan made a mistake. He had plenty of money coming in from his half-time, work. But somebody approached him, I'm going to work for a dating agency where he is a counselor with people who need to find a mate. And of course, he's the perfect one for that, I tell you. He will counsel with people and tell them how to find the perfect mate for them, the men, the perfect woman, or the woman, the perfect man. And so he also has a book full of possibilities for them from the company that he works from. And there's always a few dollars that come this way or that way through his pocket. So Stefan has allowed himself to get tangled up with that, where he has to go and take classes and learn how to do it, and then he's going to have to spend evenings working with these people who want dates and things like that, and he'll have no time for himself. If you do that job right, that's a very demanding job. But Stefan will probably do it right and not have it be a very demanding job. He'll probably have an hour a day that he'll spend on that. And he'll say to people, come see me, and we'll talk about this. You got from 8 to 9 and 9, 8 to 9, 8, 10, 8, 10 to 8, 20, 8, 20, 30. Now, move it in, move it out, you know, and he'll work with them. But you have to be very careful that you don't take something that sounds exciting and sounds fascinating and let it take you from your goal. Now, Stefan left here, he says, one of the main things I want to do is meditate. One of the main things I want to do is introspect. I want to spend a good time every day meditating and introspecting. Now, with his busy schedule, he hasn't even had time to do the things he told us he would do, you know. And so I kind of think he doesn't have much time for meditation. Now, I would like to see him meditate, because to meditate is giving him his greatest benefit. If he doesn't meditate, if he doesn't introspect, if he doesn't listen to the voice within, then he's got a problem. Now, I'm not touched by that, but he's touched by it. He will wake up and find that it does not work too well, but he doesn't have to wake up. He can do anything he chooses. And if he's touched by these things that he's working with, he can always quit. And he can always go and do whatever he wants to do. And that's a wonderful thing to do. But remember, be ready to do what you want to do. If you are touched and feel possessed by the job you have, if you feel possessed by the work you're doing, if you feel possessed by anything at all, then you're not free. You're not a free agent. You are limited. These are things that build up within us anger and anxiety and build up within us the feeling of frustration and confusion and cause illness and disease. And these are things we don't want, because if anything ever gets to you and you're pressured into doing things, stop it. Stop it right there. Oh, but I've started this, I have to finish it. Why? If you died, would you finish it? No. So, hey, you just had an awakening. You just woke up to say, hey, no, I've been possessed by that as long as I need to be possessed by that. I'm now free to walk whatever path I want to walk. Well, look at Heinz. Heinz is a good example, not a perfect example, but a good example. Heinz gets himself in the candle business, and then he gets tired of that. So then he goes into the boat building business, and he gets tired of that. And then he goes into the airplane building business. He gets tired of that. Then he goes into the sailing business, and he gets tired of that. Well, you see, the reason that Heinz gets tired of these things is because he allows himself to have that be possessed as a job. If it were just a fun time, you know, just something that you enjoy doing, and doing it just for the fun of it, then, hey, great. But you see, when you say, I will build you a boat, then you have a responsibility. If you say, hey, I'm building boats. Oh boy, Heinz, I'd like to buy one of the boats. It looks really good what you're doing. I'll let you know when it's done. And you can come bid on it. You know, there'll be a lot of people bidding on it because they know my workmanship. And so, no rush. It takes, what are we doing with Ingeborg here, yeah? We said, Ingeborg, I want that Shangri-La completely fixed up beautiful in the next 10 years. You know? Now, Ingeborg, don't think too highly of that. Almost 2 years have already passed. The time goes, you know. The time goes. You may have to call in the architects and the carpenters and the builders to come in and fix it up nice. And, of course, with what it may cost to do that, it might be cheaper to buy a new modular home and just rip that thing out. You know, really. If you want to fix it up the way our imagination would want it fixed up, you know. So these are important things to consider. Never allow yourself to be possessed or be frustrated by anything you do. Because if you allow yourself to be possessed or frustrated by whatever you do, it's no fun anymore. And then you are touched by it. You know? You are touched by it. And if you're touched by it, hey, forget it. Quick in a hurry. The minute your sweetheart says to you, I think we should go to the show tonight, and you say, oh, you can go if you want. I'm staying home. I just feel like sitting here and relaxing. You're not coming with me. You're my husband. You're my wife. You got to come to the show with me. You got to come when I go someplace. You got to come along. You know, you got to come. Hey, get a new spouse. That's unnecessary. That's possession. That's control. That's touching you. You know, if you don't come, I won't be happy. If you don't come, I'll die. We have had a number of people that I've known who were in prison, and they would tell their wives, if you don't come visit me, I'm going to die. If you don't come visit me, I'm going to kill myself. You know, all that nonsense, just pressure, pressure. And the wife doesn't come to visit, and she's untouched. She's been through it before, and she knows the nonsense. Now, perhaps by the time he comes out of prison, he may say to his wife, you have been a strong person to handle the family while I'm away. I respect you and love you very much. You're just wonderful. And you know, you gave me the will to live in prison, and I'm so happy by not letting me push you around. And now, if he'd have the wisdom to say that, that'd be something. But most wouldn't have the wisdom to say it. But it is the truth. I've dealt with so many of them who talk unkindly to their wife on the phone, and they expect the wife to be kindly with them. And I say, hey, you know, is that the kind of language you're going to use when you go home? Is that the kind of language you're going to do when you're anywhere? And they say, and I say, hey, you have little kids in the house? Yep. And you want your little kids to talk like that? But I'm the daddy. Yeah, you're the role model. You're the one who they're going to follow. And if you're going to let them be touched by you, then they're going to be an example of you, of your worst, not your best, because they don't see your best often enough. And sometimes they felt like punching me in the nose, you know. But they listened, and they heard, and they changed their lives. They changed their lives. It was beautiful. I was willing to stand on the line for these things, and they made their changes. Visiting in the visiting room in prisons are a fantastic experience. If you've never done it, forget it. But they're very demanding. They're very demanding, but they're very good. So, if you are touched by anything in life, think twice about it. Whether you want to continue that circumstances in which you're touched, or whether you want to change it, or whether you want to just go to a circumstance where you're not touched. That doesn't mean getting divorced or getting married. It doesn't mean or having relationships. It doesn't mean quitting a job or starting a job or anything. It means, what does it mean, Anita?
To be happy inside with myself, to be at peace.
And to change your
attitude.
Yeah. To change your attitude. If we put a new attitude in motion about ourselves, we will have a loving, fabulous relationship with ourselves. And it's fun. It's nice. So, I love you, and enjoy.